Genesis 2, verse 2, it says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested on it from all the work of creating that he had done." God had done his work and is now resting on this day, following this time of creation. This day, God's creation, God gave this day. And we just heard from Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, that he made it holy. He blessed it, because God was resting. The gift of this day of rest, and that's exactly what it is, it's a gift. We didn't do anything to deserve it, we didn't create it, we don't have to work to enter it, or do anything to earn it. This is a gift from God. The Sabbath is a gift to God's creation. It was then, it is now. So rather than thinking as the Sabbath as a one day a week that may look like a day off, what we've been exploring over the last few weeks is how the Sabbath, this blessing to humankind, is more than this. Because God created the Sabbath, he entered into this time of rest, and this rest did not end. And that's what he wants for us, this rest. So to enter into his creation and also this eternal rest of the seventh day. And as I said, this does not end, and it's for us all. But not only as individuals are we to experience the Sabbath rest, but it's true for us as a community. And we hear this in the laws of justice and mercy. And I'm going to invite Chris to come forward and for our two readings from Leviticus and from Deuteronomy. Thanks, Chris.
The first reading is from Leviticus, and it's chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your unattended vines. The land is to have a year of rest, and whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your male and female servants, and the hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals of your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten." Switching now to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15. "At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for cancelling debts has been proclaimed. You may require a payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, There may be no more poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God has given you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you, as he promised, and you will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among you, among your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land of the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbour this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for cancelling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you, you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. This is the word of the Lord.
So the two readings we've just had, one from Leviticus and one from Deuteronomy. So I've already spoken about the Sabbath and it being this individual almost invitation to God's rest. But it's more than this. It's to community as well. Leviticus, the land itself was to observe the Sabbath. The land itself. In that it was to be rested. This is really good management of natural resources of the land. Because taking and taking from the soil and giving it no time and no opportunity to rest is going to result in subsequent poor harvests. So it's good practice to let the land rest. Not only for the land to rest and be free in order to restore, but debts were to be cancelled. And that's what we've heard from Deuteronomy. Those indebted to others were to be freed from this burden. The Lord's time for cancelling debts had been proclaimed, the year of the Lord's favour. The year of the Lord's favour, that's what we hear when Jesus stood in the temple, when he was handed the scroll and he read from the prophet of Isaiah. So Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Jesus then rolled the scroll back up and he gave it to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then Jesus began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The year of the Lord's favour. So not only do we have in Deuteronomy where the people were to be freed from the debts and that cycle of death that would continue and continue and continue. Because if you are in debt, then there was very little chance of you earning enough, of your crops being so successful, of you being able to get in the extra income that you need actually to pay off the debt, the reason why you got into it in the first place would probably still exist. So that cycle of being in debt would go on and on. People would be oppressed by it. But in the Sabbath rest for the whole community, God is saying, well, no, after 6 years, that is to be cancelled. It's almost as if it's, give them a break. Stop this cycle. Let's have a fresh start. And then Jesus has stood in the temple, and as I've just read, the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus had come, has come, to set the oppressed free. And how do we know this? Because of what we read in Scripture, by what Jesus did. Last week, the passage of Scripture was when Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees for taking a walk on the Sabbath with his friends. Criticized because he allowed the others to pick ears of corn, to crush them and to eat them. This was not allowed on the Sabbath. And Ian explained last week that there were so many extra rules about the Sabbath relating to it and what you needed to do to probably hold a good Sabbath. You could hardly do anything. Work was not permitted, not even in the home. Walking more than half a mile was forbidden. Obeying all the extra Sabbath rules had, I would say, become a job in itself. I mean, not working on a Sunday would be a good one, I'd like to observe, but maybe not. But there was a danger that the Sabbath and all the rules that surrounded it was becoming and had become a new form of slavery. So far from producing and promoting the freedoms from work, it had become a system of detailed regulations which covered every minute aspect of life. Far from being the blessing it was intended to be, I would suggest that the Sabbath had become something that had to be done, knowingly and deliberately followed. This sounds far from the intended gift it was meant to be. But what we heard in when Jesus picked the ears of corn and other accounts when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and there are many, we see Jesus seemingly openly breaking these rules in various ways. The reason what we had last week, he went for a walk in the countryside purely for leisure and companionship. We've got many accounts where Jesus taught, he healed people, all on the Sabbath. So if God created the Sabbath, and here we have Jesus going out of his way to what seems to actually flout the Sabbath rules by doing what some perceive as work and becoming really upset by it because the Pharisees were criticizing him. The Pharisees hated him for doing this. Then if we've got something that God created and Jesus seems to be going out of his way to flout the rules that have been put in place by others to observe the Sabbath, what's going on? But that's the whole point, in that the Sabbath should be about freedom. God had provided everything we need, and even with the laws in place to direct how we should protect everyone. Everything was put in place by God. Even those rules to say, don't keep people oppressed, don't keep them down, release them from this debt. But this is what people were experiencing, this oppression. So we have Jesus coming in to the temple, going places on the Sabbath, and he is releasing people from their oppression. The year of the Lord's favour. God had given his decrees, and even when there was fear and concern, these concerns were addressed as they going back to Leviticus. Maybe the people were worried. Actually, we can't do anything on the Sabbath, so how are we going to eat? But a bit further on in Leviticus, it said, even when Moses gave the Israelites the instruction about the Sabbath law for the land, the Lord says in verse 18, follow my decrees, follow what I'm saying to you. Be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in this land. The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. But you may ask, verse 20, what will we eat in the seventh year if we don't plant and harvest our crops? And the Lord says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. So while you plant in the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. God had provided everything, everything that was needed. Part of that need was also the laws to protect others. But really, were they protected? There's a rather disturbing account in Amos, and the book of Amos later on in the Old Testament. Things weren't going well. Amos was to pronounce God's judgment on Israel. This message was to be given to the wealthy people of Israel. Those who had heard this message of, I'll provide everything for you. I will provide everything. And yet these people who were enjoying prosperity and peace, these are the very people who were oppressing the poor and even selling them into slavery. Amos 8 reads, this is Amos talking, God talking first of all. This is what the sovereign Lord showed Amos, a basket of ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? God asked. A basket of ripe fruit, I answered. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, the songs in the temple will turn to wailing. Many, many bodies flung everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath be ended when we may market our wheat? Skimping on the measure, boosting the price, cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. God was talking to Israel, this people who had been given the law to honour the oppressed and to set them free. And now we have God saying these awful things, saying the awful things that was happening to the poor and the oppressed. This is not how it was meant to be. Israel was in fact conquered by Assyria and the rich were taken into slavery. But Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he has come to set his people free from physical, emotional, and spiritual bondage. So by healing people on the Sabbath, Jesus was totally emphasizing what he had come to do. Those times when people had been oppressed, when they were kept in their low-down state, when they were kept unable to function in society, Jesus comes along, and on that very, very day he shouldn't have been doing it, he did it. Why? Because he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he sets his people free. So no matter how many laws that were put in place for the Israelites, look after your people. Don't keep them downtrodden. You still didn't do it. Jesus was not to be bound by the regulations that man had put in place. People were to experience freedom. Those who he touched, those who he healed, even on the Sabbath, were not only free from pain and suffering, as liberating as that is, but they were freed from the bondage and the oppression. Because being living life with a withered hand in those times was hard. There was no social security, no backup benefits, nothing in place to help that person. So bringing them into the freedom of the kingdom of God and into his eternal company, into the peace of the Lord and the eternal Sabbath rest. So that eternal Sabbath rest is not just an individual, a concept for the individual. Don't work, honour, obey these rules. But it was something that the whole community was to be blessed by. God abhorred the keeping of the outward Sabbath rituals while people were being oppressed. In the Liberating Sabbath notes that are online, there's a quote from Brian McLaren. And Brian is referring to a verse in John chapter 6, verse 29, when the disciples were asking, how can we do the work of God? And Jesus says, very simply, believe in the one he has sent. That's all. Believe in the one God has sent. Believe in Jesus. So Brian says, when we realize that the most powerful, world-changing work we can do is simply to believe, as Jesus told his original disciples in John 6, verse 29, this is carrying out God's work. You must believe in the one he has sent. Then, Brian goes on, then when faced with a choice, we will vote differently. We will buy differently. We will drive differently. We will invest differently. Eat differently. Volunteer differently. Treat our neighbours differently. And so much more. He goes on, multiply all these kinds of daily personal decisions by the increasing numbers of people for whom they make sense, and you begin to see the power of personal action inspired by a new kind of faith. Our concern for social justice begins with awareness. If we are not aware of those who are living in oppression, are living in debt, are living with slavery, then how do we know? If social justice begins with awareness, and then if we are aware, when faced with a choice, I would ask, how will we then vote differently, buy differently, drive differently, invest differently, eat differently, volunteer differently, and treat our neighbours, and so much more? But if we're not aware of where social oppression and death and everything that keeps folk poor, if we're not aware of those things, then how can we act? The Israelites were given laws to look after folk. It went desperately wrong. We have Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, who came to set the prisoners free, who came to set the oppressed free, sight to the blind, And that's what we're called to be today. We are called, each of us, to be that salt and light that makes a difference. Let's pray. Father God, you are a God that provides everything we need. But Lord, so often we take more than what we do need. Everything, Lord, was provided for Adam and Eve in the garden, and yet they took something that was surplus to what they needed, to what was forbidden to them. Lord, I pray that you will give us eyes to see how our actions affect others. God, give us a heart of compassion. A heart, Lord, that will think before we invest what we have, how we spend our money. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see those times when either unknowingly, or maybe we do know, that this is not good for the producer of this product. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to set the oppressed free. Lord, may we look to you. Give us eyes to see through your eyes for those for whom we need to care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.